Hello, hello. It's Monday morning once again. Here we are, Pastor Tony, Monday Minutes Podcast Teaching. I'm not going to waste much time today with any kind of long introductions. We've been talking about end game, end times teaching. This is part four. You say, how long is this going to last? I don't know. I'm having a good time. I don't know if you're having a good time or not, but I'm having a good time. We've been talking about end game, end times teaching, signs of the time. I've been walking through some different type of things, talking about the rapture and dispensationalism, sensationalism, eschatology, end times talk. And so that's where we've been. This is what's going to continue today. As I said, this is part four. To those of you that listen to these, I always say good morning, have a great Monday, Philippians 4:4, rejoice, and again I say rejoice always, smile, have a great day, thank you for listening. Those of you that do listen to these and those of you that do enjoy these, thank you. Some of you let me know that, I really appreciate it. Let me know if you enjoy these. You can even comment on the Podbean page. You can even comment on each one and let me know if you're getting something out of it. I really do appreciate that. I really, 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 really do. For those of you that listen on a regular basis, if you have a topic of interest, and maybe you would say, I would love you to talk, you know, on a future podcast on this topic, let me know. Amen. Let me know. I will take it and pray about it and look into it. So I am open to that. I also have some ideas in the future to do some interviews and have some guests and that kind of thing as well. So my mind is wide open to possibilities and ideas, but if I don't hear from you, I'm not going to know. So this is our podcast teaching. It's about teaching. It's about discipleship. I'm not preaching. I'm not trying to win souls, and I'm not prophesying you into feeling good today. I'm teaching, and so you're here to learn today, and I'm here to learn. So we're here to learn together. We've been talking about end times last time in part three. I've been walking through teaching concerning the Great Tribulation, the tribulation period. We've been in Revelation chapter 6 and, of course, in Daniel 9:27, but I've been spending a lot of time in Revelation chapter 6 walking through the different judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, kind of giving an overview, if you would, of what the Great Tribulation will be like. I'm really doing it not to cause you to be scared, not to cause fear. I'm doing it so that we know how serious this time period is. So we know how awful this time period is going to be. And so we know to encourage people and warn people and tell people the importance of getting saved, because you don't have to watch the news very much or scroll through social media to see what's going on. There is a shaking going on. Things are a-changing, as the song says. Times, they are a-changing. Yeah, they are. And it's clear that things are going on, that things are shifting, and people are asking questions. And I do believe that believers need to have answers. I do believe that we are the hope of the world. Can I encourage you this morning? You are the hope of this world. You are. You, right there, wherever you are, listening to this podcast. Smile and say, I am the hope of the world. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you are the hope of the world. Smile today and be happy about that. But that means you have a responsibility. And I have a responsibility to witness and to share the truth and to have answers. And so when people look at this crazy, shaking world, they have questions and they're looking for answers. And I believe believers should have the answers. All right. So let's dive back in. We've been talking about the Great Tribulation. And I left off at Revelation 8:13. Revelation 8:13 teaches us that a special angel flies around the earth warning that worse judgments are to come. I've been making the point for those who might think that there will not be a rapture, and to those who think that the church will be here through the tribulation, well, if I'm wrong and you're right, then the Lord is allowing us to walk through judgment, even though Jesus already took judgment for us. And God is allowing us to walk through some real hell on earth. Okay, so let's move on to Revelation 9, 1 through 12. For those of you taking notes, for those of you following these scriptures, I'm trying to lay it out as simple and slow as I can, giving a picture here. Revelation 9, 1 through 12 is the fifth trumpet judgment. And this introduces a hideous demon-like creature such as a scorpion and locust out of the bottomless pit. Not able to kill men, they torture them so badly that they will seek death and not find it. Again, we've talked about billions dying in a world war, likely nuclear. We've talked about judgment. We've talked about pestilence, famine, disease, hunger, shelter, death. Potentially a meteor hitting the earth, wormwood, bitter. Waters being poisoned. The sea life dying. I mean, we've talked about all these horrible things. People running and hiding for shelter and cannot find it. Now we see people asking to die. Revelation 9:13 is the sixth trumpet judgment. Now listen to this for just a moment. Because this, you know, some of this stuff reads like a fantasy, but this is what John saw. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. John has a vision. This is what John writes. This is what John sees. This is what is coming at some point when we don't know when. Remember, the Great Tribulation begins, according to Daniel 9:27, with a peace treaty with Israel and surrounding nations, a seven-year peace deal. So that's why anytime you hear anyone on the world stage talking about trying to get a peace treaty with Israel, they are flirting with the beginning of the tribulation period. But as of now, it's never happened because the time hasn't been right. God hasn't said now's the time. But that will mark this beginning of this period when, we don't know, but we are warned about it, and it will come at some point, according to the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible to be the written self-revelation of God. I believe the Bible is not a fable or a fairy tale. I teach this to encourage people to not be here, and I teach this to encourage people to have faith that God won't allow you to be here if you're saved, if you want to go, if you want to be gone, that is, and that when these events start to happen, the Bible foretold it, but there's also hope that people, yes, can get saved during the tribulation period. All right, Revelation 9:13, the sixth trumpet introduces 200 million horsemen. I would indicate these are demon, spirit-like death angels who kill one-third of the people. Now, we've already saw one-fourth die. Now we're seeing another one-third die. This will occur between the 40th and the 42nd month of the first part of the Great Tribulation, which brings to 50% the population that is destroyed before even that midpoint. I keep saying the Great Tribulation, but it's actually tribulation, midpoint, Great Tribulation. Much, much, much death. Much death, much heartache. Then these people, we talked about martyrs, we've talked about death. At this point, these are people that are destroyed before the midpoint. These individuals have taken the mark of the beast and are considered people that are following the world system at that point. Now, we need to talk a little bit about Mark of the Beast. People have been talking a lot here during the COVID pandemic. Is COVID the Mark of the Beast? Or not COVID, but the vaccine. Is the vaccine the Mark of the Beast? Well, it can't be the Mark of the Beast because the tribulation period hasn't begun yet. How do you know the tribulation period has not begun yet? Because there has not been a peace treaty signed with Israel and surrounding nations led by a world leader. Daniel 9:27. That has not happened yet. How do you know, Pastor, that we're not already living in the Great Tribulation today? Because there's not because there's not been a peace treaty. Does that make sense? Please say yes somewhere. Yes, that's why I know that we're not in the tribulation right now. And if we're not in the tribulation right now, there cannot be an active mark on the beast on earth. This happens during the tribulation, so don't get scared that maybe you've taken the mark. You haven't. It hasn't happened yet. This happens during the tribulation. I hear people sometimes, they get concerned. Oh no, have I taken the mark of the beast? No, you haven't. It hasn't happened yet. Now, can there be things happening on earth right now, like the medical chips? Can these things be setting the stage? Yes, of course. We're seeing these things as stage setters, table preparers, yes, appetizers, yes. Getting the world used to the idea? Absolutely. I believe we're living in that day and that hour, and people are getting used to the idea. Yes, I believe that. I believe that to be true. Absolutely. Revelation 11:15 is the seventh trumpet judgment. Revelation 11:15 is the seventh trumpet judgment. This introduces the awesome events described in chapters 12 through 18, the most severe set of judgments, yes, yet reported, the vile judgments. So now we're seeing the vile judgments being introduced. Revelation 17:1-18 describes the destruction of Babylonish false religious system, the great harlot. That great harlot is a symbol of a false religious system, which will merge all religions of the world during the first part of the tribulation, which, by the way, would easily take place with the rapture happening and the church being removed. This system will be so powerful that it will dominate both the Antichrist or the beast. The beast is symbolized in Revelation as the Antichrist and the 10 kings at that time. But because of their hatred of the harlot, at the midpoint of the tribulation, they will make war on her and kill her. So there's so much being said right there. There's so much to break down right there. All right, we talked about the mark of the beast, which is something that Christians should not be afraid of. It's not going to happen until the tribulation period, and I do not believe God is going to leave his church here for that. People that don't get saved, that live through the rapture, that happen to live through the 1/4 of humanity dying in the first half and the 1/3 of humanity dying after that, those who happen to live through all that, that hear the gospel being preached by 144,000 Jewish evangelists, have to be concerned about the mark of the beast, yes. Yes, they have to be concerned about it. But we don't have to be concerned about it. People need to understand this. Now, there's so many things being said right there in that passage. That passage also says that there's going to be a false religious system. The great harlot, the false religious system. Well, the Bible would indicate that during the first part of the tribulation that many world religions, if not all, would be merged together into one unified religion. Now, have you not seen that table being set? Question. I'm sure someone's saying yes right now because we're seeing that push right now. I've been seeing that push personally for the last 5 or 6 years myself. The idea of religions coming together, the idea of multi-faith worship services, we've seen that. Matter of fact, there's even been reports of the Pope attending these multi-religious worship services. Is the Pope the Antichrist? No, but he is helping set the stage. Does he know that? I don't know. You would have to ask the Pope yourself, I guess. I don't want to sit here and make assumptions. But certainly the stage is being set. Certainly things are shifting in the world, yes. Certainly the idea of these things are beginning to be set up. Yes, yes, and yes, underscore yes, yes. That is the world that we're living in today. That is the hour that we're living in today. And these are the things that we're seeing being set. That's why I do believe we're living in the days prior to the rapture of the church. And I do believe that we're seeing these things being set up. And I do believe the Bible is being unfolded before our very eyes, and the table dressing is out. So Revelation 13, 1 through 3 teaches us in the process of killing the world religious system, or the harlot, Mystery Babylon, this false religious system, somehow the Antichrist is killed. That's right. The Antichrist somehow, some way, we don't know how, gets killed in the process of this harlot or the Mystery Babylon or this false religious system. He is killed. He gets a deadly head wound. Now, somehow, this deadly head wound is healed. In chapter 12, Satan himself is cast out of heaven. Now, that's, of course, the image where he has been the accuser of the brethren. And he now enters the Antichrist's body and resurrects him to a new and even more vicious life. So in Revelation 13, 4 through 10, the Antichrist, now incarnated by the enemy, will force the remaining people of the earth to worship him, except those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means people who are born again. So at this point in the tribulation period, the Antichrist is infilled with the enemy, and it is declaring himself to be God. Declaring himself to be God and causing people to worship him. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. You know, is this too much word for somebody? This is heavy. This is heavy stuff. I'm giving loads of scripture. I'm trying to outline what this period is going to look like for a purpose, and I'll tell you the purpose in a minute if you haven't already figured it out, but I hope I'm not bogging you down. I hope I'm not muddying up the waters here, but I'm trying to, you know, be deep, and I'm trying to teach. Revelation 13, 11 through 18, the false prophet will replace the slain religious system, forcing people to worship the Antichrist and his image or be killed. Everyone will worship or be killed. And without the mark of the beast, they won't be able to buy or sell. We see that clearly right here in this scripture. We've already talked about the mark of the beast. I'm not going to go back into that. Plainly, if the church were to go through the tribulation, she would not survive it. I don't believe that. It's going to be very difficult even for tribulation saints to survive at this point. Why would God leave his church here for this? Most likely you would die in the beginning of the tribulation anyway, with the one-fourth of humanity dying. If you didn't die then, you would die following the additional one-third to pestilence, disease, the great earthquake, the great famine, a meteor, wormwood hitting the earth. I mean, this is now martyrdom, and now we're at a place in the tribulation period where the Antichrist is the devil incarnate, forcing worship or death. And these people who don't take the mark of the beast, cannot buy or sell, they're going to starve to death. This is not just a bad season. Have I made that point clear? This is not just a bad time. This is judgment. This is hell on earth. This is, as what Jesus said, unlike any other time in the history of the earth. So, I find no scriptural evidence that any believer will remain at the end of the tribulation to be raptured at the end. So for you post-rapture people, I mean, we do not see any evidence in scripture. Now, please, this is a very important part of our teaching. I'm making a very important point. This is a warning. Listen to Pastor Tony. This is like Jesus says, I say unto you and I say again. This is an important moment. If there's going to be no rapture, where is your biblical evidence that there's any remaining living Christians at this point to be brought up at the second coming? Because with what I've been describing, it is almost impossible to live through it. And at this point, there's a one world religion, the harlot, Mystery Babylon. At this point, you have to take the mark of the beast or you're going to starve to death. At this point, you can worship the Antichrist or die. So where is the evidence that believers are going to live through that? Where is the evidence that believers are going to be stuck around here somehow getting through that to be able to be raptured up at the second coming? There is no evidence of that whatsoever. So we need to grasp that for just a moment. Remember, the worst half of the tribulation period is the great tribulation period. It's the second half. Jesus called it the great tribulation period. These are the vile judgments. And there is no evidence that the church still remains. And there is little evidence that very many people could even be alive at this point that even tries to still stand by the truth of Jesus Christ. Revelation 16, 1 through 2, this vial being opened causes great sores on those who rejected Christ and instead accepted the mark of the beast, signifying the worship of him. Revelation 16, 3, the second vial was poured out on the sea, turning it to blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea is dead. Revelation 16, 4, the third vial turns the rivers and other sources of water to blood. Revelation 16, 8 through 9, the fourth vial will intensify the sun's heat until ungodly men blaspheme the name of God. Revelation 16, 10 through 11, the fifth vial will cause darkness to cover the throne of the Antichrist and his entire kingdom. The sores will continue unrelentingly, producing such agony that men will gnaw their tongues for pain and blaspheme God and refuse to repent. Well, for those people that may say, well, God is not going to rapture his church, and this is because God wants to force people. The Bible says that the people get harder against God and refuse to repent. Are you listening with Pastor Tony today? Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the image? Are you saying to yourself, wow, this is horrible? Exactly, it is horrible. And that's why I just cannot believe that the good God of glory is going to willingly allow his people to be here. The only people of God that will be here during this time are people that get saved during this time, tribulation saints, and people, most of them will not live. There's no way. And we don't see any biblical evidence of that whatsoever. Where are we at? We're at the sixth seal, I think. I'm getting myself confused. I'm teaching so much. Revelation 16, 13 through 6. The sixth vial sends lying demon spirits out to the kings of the whole world to bring them down to battle of that great day of God Almighty, more popularly known as the Battle of Armageddon, which happens at the end of the tribulation period that prompts the second advent of Christ or the second coming of Jesus. I do believe that Jesus literally comes back physically on the earth at that time, wins the Battle of Armageddon for the people of God, and that ushers in the millennial reign. I'm not an amillennialist. For those of you non-Pentecostals, that was not speaking in tongues. That was Pastor Tony, very tongue-tied. And I'm way too far into this recording to start all over again. So we're going to laugh at Pastor Tony and move on, because I'm not starting over. I'm not an amillennialist. I believe that a physical, literal, millennial reign of Jesus will transpire following his second coming, or the second advent of Christ. Revelation 16, are you still with me? Someone say yes. Revelation 16, 17 through 21. We'll do this and stop for today. Revelation 16, 17 through 21, the seventh vial judgment is opened, resulting in a judgment of a God Almighty that destroys the entire world system and judges all unsaved men severely. But even though enormous hailstones fall, the unregenerate still refuse to repent. Actually, this judgment is so devastating that it prepares the world for the coming of Christ, the second coming, to set up his earthly kingdom or the millennial reign. So, we'll stop there for today. We're giving a lot of information. Once again, you say, Pastor Tony, why teach this? This sounds scary. I teach this to encourage you that you don't have to experience this. I teach this to encourage you to witness and share the love of Jesus Christ to everyone you know, because we don't want to see anyone live through this horrific time. This is why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I think next week we will start getting into some of the signs of the season to let us know that we're living in that time. I have been teaching greatly on the Great Tribulation. And, of course, we see in Revelation 19, 11 through 21, the witness of the glorious appearing of the power and the awesome, the gloriness of God and this thousand-year reign on earth. And all of the good things that happen after that, we'll talk about those things. But, you know, God doesn't leave it on a sour note, and that's good news. But be encouraged today that we don't have to live through this, that we can have victory in Christ Jesus. Be saved. Amen. And this is why I believe in the great rapture of the church. All right. Have a great Monday. And hey, listen, if this kind of stuff rattles you, then tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ and help someone avoid it. Have a great day.